From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, we'll have results from this week's presidential primaries in New York. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the special elections in New York City to replace two convicted former leaders. And there's a new effort to convince federal representatives from New York and Vermont to ban crude oil transport. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Eyes turned toward New York this week in the presidential primary contests. New York native Donald Trump cruised to victory in the GOP presidential primary this week. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports.
Trump's primary victory in New York puts winning the GOP nomination within reach.
We've won, and now, and especially after tonight, close to 300 delegates more than Senator Cruz.
During his victory speech at Trump Tower in New York City, Trump quipped that Ted Cruz, who came in a distant third, was, quote, just about mathematically eliminated from the race. Republican strategist Jessica Proud.
It was a great night for Donald Trump. We all knew he was going to win here, but by what margin was the biggest question, and he really outperformed most of the polls, getting over 60%. So he's going to leave New York with a lot of momentum and a big delegate count.
Trump picked up 89 delegates, tasting victory in every New York county except his own. Ohio Governor John Kasich stole Trump's home base, Manhattan, right out from under him, nabbing three delegates. According to the rules, 1,237 delegates are needed to clinch the GOP nomination.
The path to 1,237 is not guaranteed for him. He will also have to compete in states out west where Ted Cruz is doing well and has good ground operations out there.
If Trump cannot muster those numbers, Cruz has a chance at victory come July's Republican convention. Trump remains wary of what he calls a rigged system.
We're going to go into the convention, I think, as the winner, but nobody can take an election away with the way they're doing it in the Republican Party.
Trump also mentioned Bernie Sanders in his victory speech.
I am no fan of Bernie, but I've seen Bernie win, 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 and then I watch, and they say he has no chance of winning. So they have their superdelegate. The Republican system is worse.
In an interview with CNN Tuesday, House Speaker Paul Ryan retorted, "The rules are the rules." Ryan beseeched Republicans to attend the July convention and unite behind whomever delegates choose as presidential nominee. Trump needs approximately 58% of the remaining delegates. Proud notes that both Trump and Sanders are regarded as outsiders, and both were widely counted out in the early days of the race.
It's a very tight line. You know, at the end of all of this, both sides are going to want their parties to be united in the general election. So you've seen Donald Trump change his tone a little bit. We'll see how long that lasts. But it's going to be very important at the end of this process to have a united party. Otherwise, we won't see a chance of winning in November.
Proud believes New York Republican leaders and lawmakers who have resisted committing to a candidate will rally behind the party nominee. Back in Manhattan last night, Trump outlined his plans as he concluded his victory speech.
I'm flying tomorrow morning to Indiana. I'm going to Pennsylvania. I will be all over. So we're going to celebrate for about 2 hours. Then early in the morning, I get up and we begin working again. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, New York. We love New York. We love New York. Thank you very much, everybody.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
While former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton won the New York Democratic primary, her rival Bernie Sanders clinched a few victories in Hudson Valley counties and other upstate communities around the state. Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn takes a closer look at those results.
Former New York Senator Hillary Clinton addressed supporters in New York City after her victory Tuesday night over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
New Yorkers, you've always had my back. And I've always tried to have yours.
In the Hudson Valley, Clinton won in Orange, Rockland, and Westchester counties, and by wide margins in the latter two. However, Sanders took other Hudson Valley counties. He won by the greatest margin in Ulster County, taking nearly 63% of the votes. In Sullivan, Sanders garnered about 56% of the votes. In Dutchess County, Democratic Election Commissioner Marco Caviglia says the race is too close to call.
We sent out 1,760 absentee ballots. Of those, as of last night, we received 1,032. When you add up the net difference between the Clinton and Sanders campaigns, as far as the 18th and 19th congressional districts, portions that are within Dutchess County, it renders it too close to call. I think it's under 900 difference. So the 1032 could potentially swing it.
Sanders is ahead in the Dutchess portion of the 19th congressional district, while Clinton leads in the Dutchess portion of the 18th congressional district, where more ballots were cast and which includes the city of Poughkeepsie. Putnam County results show Sanders on top with a margin of less than 1.5% or 96 votes, but the results could change. Putnam County Democratic Election Commissioner Catherine Croft says she has yet to receive 167 absentee ballots. Croft expects to have a new tally in about a week. All election results are still unofficial. Here's political scientist Dr. Gerald Benjamin.
New York is Clinton's. New York elected Clinton. New York was served by Clinton. She adopted the state.
Benjamin says the Sanders victories in those Hudson Valley counties and less populated counties in the state mirrored Democrat Zephyr Teachout's results in her failed bid for governor in 2014. Again, here's Clinton during her victory speech.
The race for the Democratic nomination is in the home stretch and victory is in sight.
Benjamin, who is director of the Benjamin Center at the State University of New York at New Paltz, had this reply when asked whether Sanders should drop out of the race.
No. If I were advising him, I'd tell him to persist. He's at the head of a movement. He's giving a voice to very important constituencies in the United States and in New York. And as he persists in doing that, he drives the discussion in the direction he prefers that it go. And he gives hope and inclusion to lots of people. And I think that's very, very important.
At a polling location in Midtown Kingston Tuesday, a few Democrats spoke about who they supported. College student Jennifer Smith Jamison supports Sanders.
I really want Bernie to be able to, like, have at least a showing.
Brandon Carroll voted for Sanders.
I haven't felt this inspired to vote ever before.
And for whom did Hobie Armstrong vote?
Hillary, all the way.
Because?
I like her policies. I like the fact that she has the power and prestige with people in Washington to get change done.
Mario Aguirre voted for the first time as a U.S. citizen.
I think it's very important because one vote can make a big difference.
He voted for Clinton.
I like it. I think he's a strong woman. I can see she has power.
The Sanders campaign did not return a request for comment in time for this broadcast. Clinton picked up a majority of New York's delegates with her win. With 247 delegates at stake, Clinton will pick up at least 135. Sanders will win at least 104. 8 remain to be allocated pending final vote tallies. It takes 2,383 to win the nomination.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Two special elections were also held this week in New York to fill the seats vacated by the two former legislative leaders who were both convicted of felony corruption and had to resign. The assembly race was won by a Democrat. In the Senate, Republicans are asking for a hand count on paper ballots after the results were too close to call, while the Democrat has declared a victory. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
In the assembly race in Lower Manhattan, Democrat Alice Cancel won the seat held by former Speaker Sheldon Silver. Silver is awaiting sentencing on multiple corruption convictions. Cancel, who was chosen for the seat with the help of Silver's former top aide and a Democratic club close to the former speaker, beat Working Families Party candidate and legislative staffer Yuli Neo, Republican Lester Chang, and Green Party candidate Dennis Levy. In the Senate contest to fill the seat vacated by former Senate leader Dean Skelos, who's also facing a prison term along with his son for corruption, the Democrat Todd Kominski is ahead by 1 percentage point. Kominski has declared victory, but Republican candidate Chris McGrath says the race is too close yet to call. He's asked for a hand count of the paper ballots.
We expected this to be close. It is going to be too close to call tonight. And hopefully when everything is counted, we're going to prevail.
Kominski, an assemblyman and former prosecutor who helped put former Senate leader Pedro Espada behind bars, says if he'd had more time to campaign, his margin of victory might have been higher.
My assembly district is a third of the area. A lot of people I don't know, a lot of places I don't know, and there's only so much time, especially while you're in session in Albany, to get everywhere.
If Kominski's lead holds, Democrats will gain the numerical majority in the Senate, but not necessarily take control of the chamber from the Republicans. That's because one Democrat, Senator Simcha Felder of Brooklyn, caucuses with the GOP. He's not expected to switch allegiance anytime soon. 5 other Democrats are members of the Independent Democratic Conference. The IDC has in the past formed a joint ruling coalition with the Republicans, leaving the regular Democrats out of power. Current GOP Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan downplayed the significance of the potential power struggle between the parties, saying the race was all about local issues.
I think this is more about the residents of Long Island and the future of Long Island and the well-being of the state of New York. It's not about any one person in particular. Certainly, we're very proud to have Chris as a standard bearer for the party. He's done an excellent job. And it's more about what does this mean for things like school aid, environmental funding, transportation funding, funding for healthcare and all kinds of things like that. So I think that's what is the most important thing.
McGrath, during the campaign, said electing Democrat Kominski would result in New York City interests in school aid in other areas overriding Long Island's concerns. And even before the Senate race is officially settled, there's already action to begin the next round of voting. In Sheldon Silver's old district, a past challenger to the former speaker, Paul Newell, has already said he intends to challenge winner Alice Cancel in a September primary. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. New York took center stage in the presidential contest this week, holding primaries. Alan, as many predicted, Donald Trump on the Republican side, Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, winning their respective primaries as front runners, headed toward the convention now. Your thoughts on not only the importance of New York, but what happened this week?
It does turn out, David, that New York for once has become a crucial battleground and may well signal the end of the campaign as we have known it up until now. Trump does extremely well. If, in fact, it turns out that they deprive Trump of the nomination at the Republican convention, it may be the end for the Republican Party as we know it. Because you can't take millions of voters and disenfranchise them and say, we back Rome boys, we're going to do it. You're not going to get it. We'll figure out a way. You got guys like Cruz, the man Trump calls Lying Ted, saying that he's going to be the choice of an open convention. Well, I don't think so. I think he helped them keep it open, but they're going to look for somebody who's much more moderate. After all the reports are that the insiders hate Cruz almost as much as they hate Trump. And as I said in my little talk to the Rotary in Plattsburgh recently, you know, with some of these guys who are endorsing Cruz, it's like, do you ever have bile coming up in your throat in the middle of the night? You gotta swallow it down again. And I think that's exactly what has happened. So they're going to find themselves a moderate, a Paul Ryan. Oh, Paul Ryan said he wouldn't do it. He'll do it if he gets asked, just the way he became speaker, the way that he was asked to do that after he said he wouldn't do it. So New York became a real battleground. Hillary, of course, is a very important spot for Hillary, because if Bernie Sanders was going to really show something here, he would have won in New York. After all, he was born in Brooklyn, and it's not surprising that many of the complaints about voter fraud came from Brooklyn, of all places, the home of Bernie. There's no question. You listen to Bernie, you know where he was born. Anyway, he seems to be out of it. The real question is now whether he stays into the end. I suspect he will, in order to make his philosophical points that the Democratic Party ought to be going to the left. And he has certainly made an impression on Hillary Clinton, who has moved to the left.
As we've heard from our Allison Dunn in the program today, the wins for Bernie, many came upstate in many sort of predictable areas.
David, you have put your finger right on it, as always. The upstate area in New York is an economic mess. And what we're seeing is, if there's a vote, that the upstaters will make a protest in that vote. So, for example, when Andrew Cuomo ran for governor, he got basically wiped out in upstate New York. They were saying, no, 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 you haven't done anything for us. Then Bernie Sanders, the outsider, the socialist, the man on the left, he wins most of upstate New York. Again, a protest vote? I suspect so. And I think our politicians are having a tough time figuring out exactly what they can do. You put a chip factory in Albany and you employ, you know, several hundred people. It doesn't begin to make a dent in the differences. So then you start to hear upstate wants to secede. New York City wants to secede. Staten Island wants to secede. We have a secession crisis of, you know, the first order. Nothing is ever going to happen, of course, but that's the kind of protest and agony that is going on as the kids leave upstate New York, as they go somewhere else. And you know, the way that it shakes out is there is a real upstate crisis.
What about the leadership in the New York State Senate? As we sit speaking on a Thursday, we still do not have an answer in the race for the Senate seat formerly held by Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos, the Republican convicted of corruption, awaiting sentencing. At this hour, it's too close to call. The candidates, Democrat Todd Kominsky and Republican candidate Christopher McGrath, although NASA Republican Party Chairman Joseph Mondello says that it's likely that Kominsky has won. McGrath has not conceded. Allen and Mondello urged, as well as McGrath, election officials to count the nearly 3,000 absentee ballots out.
Well, if there's going to be chicanery, it's going to be in the absentee ballot area. It has not been unknown for one side or the other to bring a whole bunch of ballots into a nursing home and say, sign here. So we don't know what's in all of them. And when you have just a few hundred votes separating candidates, it is a signal that to a lot of people, maybe I should have gone out and voted. You know, you lose by a vote or two votes or 18 votes. It happens all the time in an election. It does send a powerful signal about the sanctity of one's vote and the importance of one's vote. And of course, there's always a temptation to try to steal it at the end. You do that and you potentially risk going to jail. So, you know, not a great idea.
Well, the other special election, Alan, was for the other disgraced leader in New York State. That was the New York State Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, a Democrat, also convicted and awaiting sentencing. His seat went to Ms. Cancel, who her opponent, the Working Families Party candidate Ms. New, said was a creature of the political machine of Silver.
I go back to the time that I was in the sixth grade. I came to my mom and I said, Mom, it's Stevenson versus Eisenhower. I'm voting for General Eisenhower. He's the greatest leader in the history of, you know, warfare and all the rest. He got us through World War II. And my mother said, no, we're Democrats. So it's as if somebody said, no, we're Catholic, no, we're Jewish, no, we're Protestant. There's a certain socialization that goes on. People say, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. In New York City, I'm a Democrat. So even though the candidate who won was aligned with Sheldon Silver's old Democratic politics, and you had a new fresh face running on a third-party ticket, very hard to win on a third-party ticket, and she did.
We also heard lurid details about infidelity from the speaker during his time in office, but I bring it up because part of that story involved him redistricting his rival of his paramour.
Well, let me just say, it wouldn't be the first time. The legislature draws their own districts. There are Republican districts in which the assembly has made the guy's district or the woman's district go through six or seven counties. Can you imagine that? So, yeah, well, like, oh, who's getting into my way? Well, take care of that. That is really sort of a corrupt practice in itself, but it's a legal one in New York State, and it ought to be stopped.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A coalition of environmental and municipal officials stood in a park last week overlooking the Saranac River and a rail trestle. They announced a new effort to convince federal representatives from New York and Vermont to ban crude oil transport in order to protect Lake Champlain and the Hudson River. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there and filed this report.
The group met at McDonough Park, across from City Hall. The park is only a few hundred yards from a rail trestle that daily sees trains carrying crude oil cross over the Saranac River as it empties into Lake Champlain. The advocates say transporting Bakken oil by rail remains an unacceptable risk to Vermont and New York and is especially hazardous to the sensitive ecosystems of Lake Champlain and the Adirondacks. More than 80 environmental, business, recreational, and other organizations, along with former members of state agencies, current and former state legislators, and both the Plattsburgh and Burlington City Councils, have signed a letter to the Vermont and New York congressional delegation calling for a, quote, federally, legislatively imposed ban on the transport of oil along Lake Champlain and the Hudson River, unquote. National Wildlife Federation Senior Counsel Jim Murphy outlined a precipitous increase in rail accidents nationally over the past 3 years and says the oil trains that travel along Lake Champlain are too dangerous.
We have concluded that there is no safe way to transport this oil at this time. The trains that roll along this lake are sometimes twice the length of the train that destroyed Lac Mégantic. The danger is just simply too high.
Plattsburgh Ward 1 City Councilor Rochelle Armstrong called the oil trains traveling through the city an ominous problem.
Our municipalities need to stand up and become the advocates in a bold and aggressive way so that we bring the attention to bear on this issue that our leaders at the federal level need to recognize.
The rail corridor along Lake Champlain also passes through the Adirondack Park. Adirondack Council spokesman John Sheehan says the trains pose a significant risk to the largest park in the contiguous United States.
This is also considered to be a biosphere reserve by the United Nations. The danger here is also to a drinking water supply for 180,000 people. Lake Champlain serves as water for people from Vermont, New York, and Quebec. So we have grave concerns about the environment, about communities, and about wild lands here. And we're hoping that the federal government takes them seriously.
The trains carrying Bakken crude travel 100 miles along Lake Champlain and through the Adirondacks to the Port of Albany. Lake Champlain Committee Executive Director Lori Fisher believes a catastrophic accident is not a matter of if, but when.
In the past, we have pushed for a ban on the DOT 111s. That hasn't happened. There's been some movement to upgrade trains to the 1232s. They don't represent a greater safety for our communities. That's why we see the need to push for a ban on oil transport until it can be safe. We know it's not safe now, and it's a ticking time bomb, and we need to act now.
The advocates noted that the evacuation zone from an oil train derailment in Plattsburgh includes City Hall, the downtown business area, the county government center, and numerous schools.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1617 or just listen on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.